My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. So on today's episode, we're going to be talking about love avoidance. Love avoidance is the systematic putting up of walls to avoid feeling emotionally overwhelmed by other people. You can do this with people who you really love, but you're afraid of being vulnerable with. You can do this with people that you want to get to know, but you don't know how to let them in. You can just do this with people at large, just kind of go through life with your walls up. They're hoping people don't ever try to break them down, or hoping that people do and they kind of fight for you for a little bit, or just really trying to be insular and being your own safe space. And the thing about love avoidance is the systematic putting up of walls is really based a lot in fear and in defensiveness. So even when you are perfectly safe in your little bubble, you still never feel safe because you put up the walls because you have felt in danger before. And so you kind of live your life in this hypervigilance to make sure that no one can take over your life, no one can intrude upon you, no one can take away your power, no one can beat you or make you look silly or break your heart, basically. And so that gets very heavy and that gets very hard, especially when you meet people that you actually do love and want to let in, and to not feel like you always have to be on guard with or fight with or push them away and sabotage the relationship. And so love avoidance, even though it can be very functional because it really promotes hyper independence, it can really get in the way of us having all the different components of the life that we want to have. And so that's why we need to work through healing it and finding a place where we become love available. When you're love available, you don't have to train in your own boundaries for the sake of other people. You can still be fully yourself. You can still even be independent, but also know how to love others fully while also learning how to receive love yourself. And so in today's episode, I'm going to be going over the first three steps of working through this issue according to my roadmap. For those of you who don't know, I actually have a free download that goes over a five-step roadmap for all three of the intimacy disorders, for love addiction, for love avoidance, and for love deprivation. And so in that roadmap, I go over not only the five steps that I suggest for you to go through to work through each of these disorders to get to the other side, but also talk about the common roadblocks for each one of them, and also what it looks like to live in the healed version of that. So you can download that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/roadmap. Again, that's blackgirlsheal.org/roadmap, and you can get immediate access to it. But like I said, in today's episode, I'm going to be going over the first three steps because they are my favorite, and I want you to download the whole thing. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I hope that you find it helpful. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
If you are into the magic of cycle syncing, then you know that the week before you start your period can be vicious. It's the time when your emotions are so off and you're more prone to feeling down, unexpected cravings, and just feeling so uncomfortable in your own skin. If you can relate to any of these experiences, Hormone Harmony's Estro Control may be just the product for you to help you manage symptoms of PMS. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And the biggest benefit, quote, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code BGH for 15% off today. Okay, so like I said, love avoidance is a systematic putting up of walls in a relationship to avoid feeling emotionally overwhelmed by another person. As love avoidance, typically we may see love as a duty or obligation. It's a job. And so relationships can feel very emotionally draining. That includes even when you meet someone and it's like fireworks and things are going really well. If you are actively in your love avoidance stage, typically you are really connected to people who are not on your level emotionally or people that you need to end up taking care of. And so what seems like it's kind of kismet and great at the beginning ends up becoming a drain and you end up feeling resentful of it. And so you're kind of in this cycle of you just learn that it's best to do relationships on your own because they don't work out or because they end up being too taxing. It ends up not being equal and you get the same self-fulfilling prophecy over and over again. So it's not until you get to the roots and clear this stuff out, which we're going to talk about today, that you will continue to be in these patterns of love avoidant relationships. The thing about the love avoidant is, for the most part, love avoidants are really high functioning. They are the leaders in this world. They're the CEOs. They are the head mom in the PTA groups. They are the people who are running businesses. They are the managers. They are the fiercely independent friend in the friend group that is usually the one that has all the best advice for other people. They have mastered how to do life on their own and to take people or leave people where they are. And so sometimes this can look very high functioning. Because it looks like you're really great at boundaries. It looks like you're very good at knowing your own mind, what it is that you want. But the problem is with that, because those are good things, right? The problem is, it's very hard for you to let people in to share this beautiful world that you've created for yourself, the beauty that is you. And a lot of times, there is a deep sense of either fear and anxiety of being hurt. There may also sometimes be things that you're overcompensating for that you actually don't feel that good in. And so you overcompensate in other areas of your life to mask ways that you may feel as if you are broken, wounded, not good enough. A mistake, a burden, whatever it may be. And so you're living your life in a way to make sure you never feel that weakness, to never feel that sense of overwhelm. And so, in that pursuit of emotional safety, you actually never feel safe, like I was saying in the intro. And it's very easy for you to be triggered by either the real or the imagined offenses of other people if it feels like it gets too close to these things that you're really trying to cover up and to not touch and to make sure that people don't ever give wind of so that they can't hurt you or use it against you. Okay. So the way that you know you need to work on this is if you find that you are a cutoff queen and you're very good at finding reasons to break relationships off. You're very good at having receipts for it. You're very good at being very clear on what they did wrong and how, you did your part. And maybe it is a situation where you talk about your part, but they didn't pull their weight, and so you had to leave the relationship. And so when you tell everybody what happened, everyone is on your side and they're like, "Yeah, that's great. You're right." And then eventually one day you look around and you're like, "Huh, there's not really that many people around." Or I feel like at this point in my life, like maybe everybody that I've let go of in the past deserve to be let go of, but I don't want to reconnect with them. But when I look around, I think my friendship circle should look different than the way it looks right now. I think I should have some deeper friendships. I think I should be able to go deeper with my current partner or be a little bit more happier instead of feeling so overwhelmed or be able to maintain a romantic relationship if that's what I actually want at this stage in my life. Because again, a lot of times love avoidance, we're very good at keeping ourselves very busy with a whole lot of really good things to distract ourselves until one day we just pause and we're like, wait, and we kind of take a inventory of what's around us and like, wait, I don't think this is exactly what was supposed to be here. I thought if I stayed busy enough, stayed on my grind, stayed on my personal development, everything would eventually fall into place. And it hasn't. So, what is missing here? And sometimes it is you. It is things that you're pushing away and the things that you are repelling. And so, let's talk about this. These are part of things that you will need to recover from. But before I go into the different steps, just a friendly reminder that love addiction and love avoidance are two sides of the same coin. As you're working through one, you're absolutely needing to work through the issues of the others because they are so integrated. That's why in my love addiction recovery school, you're automatically working on all of your love avoidant issues as well and love deprivation to get to the other side. So just know when you're working through these issues, even if you pick the one that is most prominent to you, it doesn't mean that you're going to have to start a whole other process to work on the other ones because wherever you go, there you are. And you kind of shift your defense mechanism depending on who's in front of you. But I can talk about that on a different episode. But let's just go ahead and jump into these steps to heal from love avoidance. So I know that this is just a podcast, but you're on the other side of this. So go ahead and stay ready if you're ready for me. Thank you very much. All right. So number one, first step of working through love avoidance is to self-assess your availability and the availability of others. This is where you need to identify if you have been open towards letting others in and/or have been attracted to unavailable people. So I'm going to say that again. This is where you're going to identify if you have been open towards letting other people in. So are you available or have you been attracted to unavailable people? The thing that love avoidance will do, I'm going to start with the second one. The thing that sometimes love avoidance will do to kind of again, have the self-fulfilling prophecy that they are right, that you can't really trust people, you can't really let people in, is that the people that they decide to actually take a chance on are the exact people that they shouldn't be doing that with. So in a room of 100 people, you somehow find the person who's a taker, find the person who's a narcissist, find the person who's emotionally unavailable, find the person who is just as good as you as being super superficial, you know. That makes me think of that is a common problem that I hear from a lot of women when they are making friendships, is that they decide that they are going to go out and be open and go and talk to people and like really put themselves out there. And they will tell me how kind of the frustration and that it takes a while to connect with people. But sometimes I'll hear stories about how they'll really connect with a woman and really bond with her and really want to hang out with her and spend time with her. But she is nowhere to be found. She is too busy. She has a lot of stuff going on. She has other commitments. She maybe is not as busy, but she's just bad at responding to texts and everything. And so somehow you met this really beautiful, dynamic woman who is just as good at you as being a high functioning avoidant. She is pretty and she is shining and she's shiny and she goes to yoga and she believes in the Lord and she does all these things, but she is just as avoidant as you and has just as many great defense mechanisms to make sure that she has people at arm's length. Like, I will see you, but only with a lot of time in between. And we'll have these really deep connections and deep conversations, but I'm going to spread out the amount of time that we have that so we can't actually build momentum. And so I can't actually feel obligated to you. And I don't ever actually have to feel overwhelmed by you. And I still have a semblance of control. I can still control how much this is. I'm not too overwhelmed by the experience. Love avoidance, as much as we may be working and hustling to have this really great life, it is also very dysregulating to be very happy, to be too happy, to be in bliss with someone, to have this really deep, emotional, intriguing connection with someone, and that is pure, is completely disarming. We are great at having that when it's connected to romantic intrigue and kind of like this really super sexy, happily ever after, getting swept off your feet kind of thing, because that energy is kind of a buffer. But when you don't have that sexual energy and that tension, but you're just looking at someone and they're seeing fully you and you're kind of exposed, that is scary as hell, especially if you are enjoying that person. Because what if I keep hanging out with her and I say something wrong or she says something wrong or, I get really connected to her and she drops off the face of the earth? There's a lot of reasons why people will build in all these buffers and defense mechanisms to push people away. So going back to this first one, identifying whether or not you have been unavailable or if you continue to be attracted to people who are unavailable, right? So either people who are outwardly toxic, flaky, disingenuous, unloyal to you, who are people with the broken wings that you get to come in and kind of baby bird them and try to fix them up and be the person who believes in them, or the people who I just said are just really great on the outside, super engaging, super fun, but they are the ones who are not really going to give you a lot of energy in the relationship? Are these the type of people that you're attracted to? So if this is your pattern, these are the types of relationships that you want to break. Similar to that, you on the other side. So I kind of listed what happens if you meet someone who on the outside looks very great, but she's not really going to let you get close. She is going to kind of tease out your relationship. She's going to make you work for it. She's going to have a whole lot of time in between your friend dates. She's not going to have a phone call with you. And if she does, it's going to be sparingly. You're not going to talk all the time. If you do talk often, you're going to be talking about you. She's not really going to be talking about her and what's going on with her. She's going to keep it light. She may be really funny and engaging and kind of crack a whole lot of jokes to disarm you and get you off the scent of asking about her. So, you know, she may be phenomenal at conversation, but that doesn't mean you're actually going to get to know her and what makes her cry at night and what makes her, or the fact that she hasn't let herself cry in 5 years. You know, like, you're not going to hear any of that stuff. Or are you that person? Are you that person where you are very good at keeping people on the outset and keeping things light and professional? And, you know, you kind of brag about, or you're kind of proud of the fact that it takes people a while to kind of get to know you. And on one hand, I respect that because there's different personality types. There are some people who are very much the observers. They got to kind of watch you for a little bit. They are more of the slow burn folks. And there are some people who walk in and they've never met a stranger, and they're really good at engaging and jumping in and getting to know a person. And then there's everybody in the middle of that spectrum, right? So that's where it's about you knowing your own energy levels, knowing what feels best for you and more true to you, not even necessarily safest, because safest is where you could secretly be an extrovert, but because you've had so much trauma and PTSD from relationships trauma, you've learned to not be yourself. You've learned to not show up and shine and explore and connect with people based on things that have happened to you, but it feels safer for you to hide. That is not you operating in your truest form. That's operating in how this trauma has really impacted you and made you feel disempowered, right? So it's about you finding what is your most genuine, highest version. If you could really just shine and know that nothing would happen, where on that spectrum would you want to be? And so you taking a while to get to know someone, if that is true to your personality, is totally fine. Where we start to look at, is this actually dysfunctional? As if when people are showing you signs that they are healthy and available, you still are moving away. You don't initiate contact with them. You're not sharing yourself with them. You are making excuses to spend time with them, even when they have shown themselves approved, right? That's when we start to look at, okay, where is the you in this? What is the common denominator for you?
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Who remembers watching The Fresh Prince growing up? I don't know about you, but Monday nights, my family was always tuned in. To be able to watch an accomplished Black family that balanced culture, art, humor, and togetherness was so inspiring and healing. And watching Will, Carlton, Ashley, Hillary, and even Aunt Viv during her infamous dance sequence go through so many coming of age moments as they discovered themselves and what was most important to them absolutely helped me have confidence to fully embody who I am. Cultural figures and moments like this are so important for us to continue to talk about, review, and celebrate as Black people. And if you're interested in learning more about these types of stories, you have to check out NPR Podcast. NPR has a new collection of podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy and resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Each episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black experience. From Megan Thee Stallion to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Michelle Obama to the women behind the Montgomery bus boycott, there's no limit to the range of NPR. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. For this episode of Black Girls Heal, we've partnered with eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. The people who truly get us on a soul level are priceless. They're the ones you can have the most ridiculous inside jokes with, who get what you're feeling, what you need on a bad day, and are the first people you think of when you have some free time and want to spend it with company. To find these people, you have to be compatible.
And compatibility involves so much more than just sharing the same interests in music and film. You have to connect to those who have the same values, complement your temperament, and want the same things in the world. That's why we've partnered with eHarmony. Their compatibility quiz helps your personality come out more in your profile, which makes all other profiles on eHarmony way more interesting and easier to find a match and more fun to read. They want you to find someone who gets you, so give eHarmony a shot. Get started with their compatibility quiz so that you can find someone you can be yourself with. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today. So it's summertime, and that means it's a season for sundresses, shorts, and maybe a bikini or two. And with our skin being more exposed, it is so important to keep it moisturized, soft, and supple for our moments of fun. That's why I love Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil, because it instantly improves my skin elasticity and is the perfect scent of the summer. With notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress, I get compliments all day about how great I smell. I love the silky feeling of my skin after using the products, especially after a shower, and my skin has never looked so firm and naturally glowy. And in this stage of life, I'm also making sure that I'm feeding my skin products that are safe for it. So I love that Osea's products are clean, vegan, climate neutral, and cruelty-free. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code BGH at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code BGH for 10% off. So that's the first step to identify or to self-assess your availability and the availability of others. Do you talk with your friends about what's going on with you, yay or nay? The second step is to clear your toxic roots. So this is where you identify and clear unresolved childhood trauma wounds that have led to unhealthy attachment styles. So for those of you who have watched me talk about my model that I use in my Love Addiction Recovery School to help women heal from this, this is uproot. This is the uproot stage, which is one of the first things that we do because, you know, before we work together, you've already assessed that like, there's an issue and I'm a part of this issue. So I need to get some help with this, right? So the first step is where we clear out these roots and we look at this trauma, because the idea is all of your heart, your relationships, they are like a garden that needs to flourish, right? These are all beautiful plants and flowers that you want to flourish in your garden, but these traumas are like weeds. So you can have all the seeds planted, the best soil and all that stuff. But if you have weeds choking out the sunlight from all the other things that want to grow and stealing the nutrients from the other flowers and plants around you, then your garden ain't going to really work no matter how much effort you put into it unless you de-weed it. So what are the things that have brought me to the place to where it's hard for me to actually open up, where it's hard for me to let people in, where to have someone around me all the time feels very triggering and overwhelming? Where did I that intimacy was work? Where did I learn that I had to perform? Where did I learn that I had to give to people for them to stay? Where did I learn that if someone gave to me, that meant that I owed them? And so I'd rather people not give to me at all. I'd rather people not listen to my stories. I'd rather them not help me financially. I'd rather them not know what's going on with me, because if people know, then something bad is going to happen. Where did you learn that? Because when you came out of your mother's womb, you did not come out with all these trust issues. You were not born with trust issues. At most, we were all born with different temperaments that has been shown to be genetic, that there are different personality traits and stuff that we come out with that is already there. And just dependent on nature and what happens around us shows how it may manifest and how deeply it may show, or if we create other little quirks around it. But as far as having trust issues and having it very hard to let people in and everything, you learn that. You learn that from the environment, from your caretakers, from how your caretakers responded to your emotions. Let's say part of your temperament is that you were born as a child who is highly sensitive. I think parents of multiple kids or people who are around kids all the time, especially from birth, you can see how you can have the same child, even within twin and triplet sets, that they all have very distinct personalities. And so if you have a child, or if you are a child who is highly sensitive, so you are more attuned to things that are happening around you, you're more attuned to your own emotions and feelings. And if you had a parent that punished you for that,
show that they were annoyed with your emotions and feelings, that they always said you're doing too much, or it doesn't matter what you think, or it doesn't matter what you feel, or get over it. That is surely going to affect how you show up in the world and what you internalize and what whether or not you let people in, right? Same way if they go and they kind of coddle it and they really enable it and they stop you from being able to learn how to work through these highly sensitive emotions because they can't stand to see you in distress because it's too distressing for them because they have their own issues. That's definitely going to impact whether or not you go through this world feeling as if you have your own personal power, or if you feel like the world is against you, or if you're constantly being victimized, or if you feel really misunderstood because you may not have that type of enabling in other relationships around you where people are quick to defer to whatever it is that you want. You know, so it all matters. And so until you clear out those roots, they're going to consistently be there and be an issue. Okay, and the last step of the roadmap I'm going to talk about today, because I want y'all to get the rest of it, is you want to look at these roadblocks. You need to identify the roadblocks that are getting in the way of allowing people into your life. So this is not just the emotional traumas and roots, but the actual things that you have put into your life that have stopped people from being able to get in. So in my program, I really encourage women to look at their schedules. So I've talked about different archetypes for love avoidance before because it comes in different shapes and formats. And so one of the archetypes I talk about, it looks like being busy all the time, being so busy that people can't ever get in. And so you'll make it seem like, or you'll say things like, as soon as I'm done with this project, as soon as I'm done with this degree, as soon as I'm done with this certification, as soon as I'm done with this move, as soon as my kids are a certain age, as soon as this person gets out the hospital, as soon as whatever, 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 then I'll make space for other people. Then I'll make space for myself. Then I'm going to join the gym again. Then I'm going to start my morning routine. Then I'm going to start my book. Then I'm going to start going to brunch more often with my girlfriends. And I'm going to actually do that kickball league at night that I've been talking about doing for a while. You know, that's when my real life will start. And the thing about these things, especially if you're an ambitious person, is if you're truly ambitious, you're always going to be ambitious. There's never going to be a time that life is going to actually slow down enough for you. There's always going to be one more thing. In fact, once you start to get close to the end of one thing, you may find that there's a new thing on your plate already before you even get started. So life is always going to be lifing. So you have to be aggressive about making space for people. But here's where that gets hard. Because of step number two, identifying the roots. And also what you've also learned your whole life on how to live your life, that is very threatening. I may want love, I may want connection, I may want friendships, but I like my life the way that it is. You in your mind is kind of like, well, there's a benefit to having these relationships, but the cost overwhelms that, right? What I have to give up in order to have relationships and connections, I don't think I want that. Why? Again, because your past, your trauma has shown that these relationships and these concessions have only been used to hurt you. It's only been with people who didn't show up and live up to their part of the bargain, their part of the commitment and their relationship. They only took from you. They left you worse than they found you. You may have lost yourself in these relationships. You have not had the experience of people who have left you better than when they found you, if they even left you at all. And so this is why it is so important to change your internal magnets, to change how we pick people, and then also how we show up. And this is not just for those of us who tend to be in love addicted relationships. It's for sure for us love avoidance as well, because like I said, the one time that we step out to let folks in, we end up getting heartbroken and disappointed. And the other thing about love avoidance is we don't know how to communicate. We have mastered our discernment. We have mastered the ability, our intuition, to pay attention to our gut thoughts and our gut reflexes about people and about situations. And so we are often very right, if not all the time right. You know, I know someone's like, nope, I'm right all the time. And it feels very real, right? But let's circle back to what I was saying at the beginning about us being cut off queens and us being so clear and having the receipts on all these relationships and why they needed to leave. But then when we look at where we are right now, Sometimes you're not at that place until later on, but when we look at where we are right now, we're like, huh, I know I've been clearing out the riffraff, and so I should have more intimacy and relationships with people who are actually good for me and there for me, and that I feel safe with, that I feel safe talking with when I'm going through a hard time, talking through what's going on in the moment, not when it's over, in the moment. And I know that they're going to hold me and be there for me.
If or when we look back and we find that we don't have those people, one thing to consider in that I'm 100% right 100% of the time is maybe sometimes what feels like discernment is actually trauma. Sometimes it is your intuition. Sometimes it is your spidey sense. Sometimes it is your gut feeling and your body talking to you. And sometimes it feels so deeply true because it's deeply connected to that wounded spot in your heart, in your body, in your inner child that's so afraid of rejection and abandonment. So that the first sign of something potentially being the case, even if it's not a real threat, but either potentially being the case or on the way to being that, it is easier for you to cut it off before it even gets there. And so there may be some relationships and some people in your life that can and are healing agents for you, but because of the threat of pain, it's been easier to limit those. And so the problem with relationships, all relationships, is that they all have a risk of there being misunderstandings, of there being missed opportunities, of there being misinterpretations, you know, so the person hasn't even done anything wrong, but the way that you interpret it feels a certain way until you get clarification. You're like, oh, okay, I definitely jumped the gun in that. And you're not going to know that until you actually learn how to communicate with people and to stay present in the moment and stay grounded versus consistently looking for an exit.
And so when you self-assess, do you have those people? Do you have those people that you could call crying and that they're going to be there for you and that you can call crying the next day and the next day and the next day after that? Also, would you even be able to do that? Or do you feel like you need to be strong all the time? So you've not had the experience of what it feels like to be in a healthy, safe community that truly builds you up, that truly makes you a better person, and that your life is better for having them there. And until you are open to having that experience, then you're going to continue to look at the worst case scenarios of what could go wrong based on what has happened before, and you're just going to keep getting what you've always done. So this third step of looking at your roadblocks of what's going on is not just looking at your schedules, looking at what are all my fears? What are the things that I feel like I'm going to miss? Where do I feel like I'm going to lose myself? And how do I figure out this balanced place of becoming available to other people while also staying available to myself? And so that is part of that, the dance that you have to do. That's why I really discourage people. Well, I don't want to say discouraged, but that's why I always have the consideration for people who do kind of self-love detoxes and they're only with themselves. So they'll cancel out all people, not just romantic partnerships, but no friendships, nobody else. And they'll kind of go within themselves for long periods of time to heal. And so, you know, I know we all have different seasons where that is necessary. I've done those myself post recovery, but it's not for an extended period of time. And I also still have community along the way. I still do check-ins with friends and loved ones. I still let folks know what's going on with me. I still check in with them. And I think the trouble when it's completely you by yourself alone on an island, you don't know, you're not learning how to open up. You're not learning how to discern who is healthy and who is safe and who are going to be the relationships that are builders for you versus destroyers. And so when you come out of your bubble, you're this brand new person, but you still have the same types of people around you and you don't really know how to navigate that. So it kind of makes you want to go back into your own shell because you haven't learned how to pick the people who are healthier for you and be available for them when they want to spend more time with you, when they want to go deeper with you, when they don't want to have to wait, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to have a conversation with you and to spend time with you, you know? So that is it for today's episode. I would love for you to go deeper by getting that roadmap to find the other two steps, where I talk about building these relationships and what that looks like to build relationships once you go through these roadblocks. I think also these first three steps are pretty meaty and juicy already. So it's probably going to give you a whole lot of things to journal on. And then when you get the roadmap, I'm going to go over more of the roadblocks that come up. Here are a few of the roadblocks already that I talked about in this episode. One is where you may exhibit unavailable qualities to others until you have the time or the readiness to work on it, but the right time never comes. Also talked about the inability to find balance, sharing your full life with availability for others. You might be resentful or lack motivation to make the changes to do so. You might be very quick to label secure relationships as problematic and cut them off. And so when you're assessing back these relationships, there may be some that you kind of consider, and I've said this in other episodes, especially the ones about friendships and the recent ones I've talked about, grieving friendships or like friendship breakups and stuff. You may be, if you're at this stage where you're working on this stuff, you may be looking back and reassessing some friendships and some relationships, which is good. It may be painful. It may be hard to kind of look at yourself in the mirror in some ways and have regret. But just remember, the world is abundant. You have always been going by what you knew to be best. You don't know what you don't know. And it's important for you to just make changes with what you have available and keep your eyes forward and keep going with building the life that you want. Because looking back at the past, it's not going to change anything, but you do have full empowerment to make a change for the future.
So you can download that roadmap by going to blackgirlsheal.org/roadmap. And I hope that you enjoy it. So that's it for today's episode. I'm sending you all so much love, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help, because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly, easier said, done.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.